Good morning and welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there, my name is Mark Congleton. I'm your not-so-humble host, or sometimes humble host, for this hour of observation, insight, and a bit of absurdity. And hopefully you're up for some absurdity today, because there is a pretty good dose of it out there in the wild blue yonder. We'll take a look at that as we move forward. Good morning and hello. I'm glad you're along today. Thanks a lot for listening wherever or whenever you may be listening. If you're on the Facebook live feed, hi there. Good morning. Good to have you along. If you are listening via podcast at some other time, I'm also glad to have you along. Thanks a lot for making this part of your daily activities. Hopefully, today's will be something to remember. I don't know. I don't remember yesterday's. Moving along. technical note, I am trying a different method of handling the feed today. So I'm looking to see if, let's see here. Yeah, it looks like over on Facebook Creative, everything is working for the Facebook live feed. And well, okay, then we'll see. Recording is going okay. Everything is, I've just moved everything around to different computers so that it's not all being handled by one decrepit 10-year-old iMac computer that's struggling just to get up in the mornings. So we'll see how that works. Oh my gosh. Hopefully you're doing well today. You're doing better than my studio is. Man, oh man, I don't know if you've seen what's happening in the news, but San Francisco, the city of San Francisco, California, has decided that vaping is vile, evil, reprehensible, and should be banned. And so they have banned vaping. Not cigarette smoking, by the way. They have not banned cigarette smoking, but they have banned vaping. I don't know about you, but I've got friends who have taken up vaping as a way to help them quit smoking. And they say it has been very helpful. I don't know. I'm not a smoker, so I have no point of reference, but they say it's helping them spend less on cigarettes and to step away from tobacco. Yeah, they're still getting some nicotine, but they're not polluting their lungs with tobacco smoke anymore, and I guess that's a positive, but not for San Francisco. Oh, no, no. Nay, nay. They have decided that smoking is vile, or vaping is vile and evil, and they've banned it. Bottom line is that they're getting a lot of tax money off the cigarettes, so they're not going to ban those. Oh, but the good news is you can still relieve yourself on the sidewalks in San Francisco. So we've got that going for us. David Hogg, you remember David Camera Hogg, that obnoxious little twerp from Florida, the anti-gun kid who doesn't know anything about what he's talking about. He just repeats the anti-gun talking points, and they're all lies. He says he's had 7 death threats. 7. Only 7? He's such an annoying little punk. He's only been threatened 7 times? Okay, but seriously, I smell another Jussie Smollett. I do. I think the kid's lying. He lies about everything else. Why not lie about this? Unless he can document, unless he can produce police reports, unless he can actually show that it really has happened, nah, I don't see it happening. He's an annoying little twerp. And that's about it. He's just an annoying punk who wants more time in the spotlight. You notice you haven't heard or seen anything from him lately. And that would be why. He's outlived his 15 minutes of fame. It's all over. What else is there? Oh, Clint Eastwood. God love him. Legendary actor, director Clint Eastwood. You know him for portraying memorable characters like Dirty Harry Callahan. He made box office hits like American Sniper. And he's also not a leftist. He's actually a bit right of center. And we have seen him act that out in public. Well, prior to the 2016 election, Eastwood told Esquire magazine that then-Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump is, quote, onto something, because secretly everybody's getting tired of political correctness, kissing up. That's the, I'm just going to quote him, the kiss-ass generation we're in right now. We're really in a bleep generation. I'm not going to say that one. Everybody's walking on eggshells, he says. He also told the magazine that then Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton would be a tough voice to listen to for 4 years. And now, with Hollywood heavyweights boycotting the state of Georgia over their heartbeat abortion law, one might say Eastwood has more or less repeated a Dirty Harry line. Go ahead, make my day, in deciding to buck the trend and go to Atlanta to begin work on a new movie. Eastwood will begin production of this summer on The Ballad of Richard Jewell. The project is about a security guard who was considered a suspect in the bombing at the 1996 Atlanta Olympics after he alerted police about a bomb-filled backpack. Jewell was eventually cleared, but his life really was never the same. He passed away in 2007. Kathy Bates, Olivia Wilde, John Hamm, Sam Rockwell, they're all expected to star in the movie. Eastwood also filmed his recent movie, The Mule, about a Mexican drug cartel in several parts of Atlanta last summer. In March, you probably recall, left-wing celebrities Alyssa Milano, Alec Baldwin, Amy Schumer, more than 40 other Hollywood luminaries signed onto a letter threatening to push TV and film production out of the state of Georgia if their heartbeat abortion bill became law. Georgia's Republican Governor Brian Kemp signed the bill. It bans abortions once a fetal heartbeat can be detected. He signed it into law in May. Kemp then openly mocked celebrities over their boycott. Oh, and in case anyone's unfamiliar, well, go ahead, make my day. Just go take a look at the movie. It's from Sudden Impact. Go ahead, make my day. That's Eastwood. He sees things as they are. And he is one rational, reasonable person on the left coast. And he makes some pretty doggone good movies as well. So he's going to go to Georgia and keep doing the work. And Georgia's made it very attractive with tax breaks and the like to attract that kind of business. And I think we all knew from the beginning that Alyssa Milano and the rest of these people who play make-believe for a living, threatening not to work in Georgia, would probably only go as far as their studios would allow it to go, as the directors and producers would allow it to go. Because the bottom line is the bottom line. And if it costs a lot less to work in Georgia than it does in other places, that's where they're going to go. Their morals have always been for sale, and they still are. So kudos to Clint Eastwood. Hats off to Clint Eastwood for stepping up and going back to Georgia to shoot his next production. Good for you. If you've been paying attention to what's happening with Iran, you know that there are people who want us to bomb the snot out of these people, and there are people who don't want us to do anything. It's funny to watch the left, to watch the progressive left, the Democrats, who condemn Donald Trump for doing things and then for not doing things, all related to the same topic. And that is what's happening with regard to Iran. And Iran's president, Hassan Rouhani, Tuesday attacked President Trump. He said the White House's actions show that Trump is mentally retarded. Well, Trump fired back with a series of tweets warning Iran that if they attack anything in America, that action would be met with, quote, great and overwhelming force. In some areas, overwhelming will mean obliteration. No more John Kerry and Obama, he says. Trump's series of tweets slammed the Iranian regime, warning it not to mess with American power. As he wrote, Iran leadership doesn't understand the words nice or compassion. They never have. Sadly, the thing they do understand is strength and power. And the USA is by far the most powerful military force in the world. with $1.5 trillion invested over the last 2 years alone. Trump segued into a condemnation of the regime for bombs that have been that have murdered thousands of Americans, saying the wonderful Iranian people are suffering, and for no reason at all, their leadership spends all of its money on terror and little on anything else. The U.S. has not forgotten Iran's use of IEDs and EFPs, those are both different kinds of bombs, which killed 2,000 Americans and wounded many more. He concluded with a dire warning to Iran not to attack America or Americans, asserting, quote, Iran's very ignorant and insulting statement put out today only shows that they do not understand reality. Any attack by Iran on anything American will be met with great and overwhelming force. In some areas, overwhelming will mean obliteration. No more John Kerry and Obama. As Secretary of State in 2016, John Kerry praised Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif, who may become one of the targets of the sanctions imposed on Iran, saying, quote, I want to make it clear that Javad is a very tough, very capable negotiator, a patriot all the time, who fought hard for his nation's interest, while always trying to find a constructive way to solve the problems that we both understood were gigantic hurdles for both of our countries, for both of our people, for our politics, and the divisions that exist at home for each of us. Mark Dubowitz of the Foundation for Defense Democracies noted on Twitter, if administration does sanction Zarif, they should make it clear that he's responsible and accountable for decisions made by the regime to conduct conduct malign and destructive activities. No more mendaciously denying responsibility. He is part of the regime in Iran and core regime decision-making. Zarif sits on Iran's Supreme National Security Council and is therefore acting on behalf of the Supreme Leader and the Office of the Supreme Leader per the new executive order. He is a party to the key foreign policy and national security decisions of the regime. He should be sanctioned for his role in the regime's malign conflict. He is part of the system. He is loyal. He didn't go to Mugniyah's funeral because he wanted to see the Cedars. He whitewashes murder and terrorism all the time. He is Khamenei's man. Rouhani stated on TV that the new sanctions Trump imposed on Iran on Monday, including targeting Iran's supreme leader Ayatollah Khamenei, in response to Iran shooting down an American drone, were outrageous and idiotic. He was echoed by Iran's foreign ministry spokesman, Abbas Mousavi, who blustered that the fruitless sanction on Iran's leadership and the chief of Iranian diplomacy mean the permanent closure of the road of diplomacy with the frustrated U.S. administration. That's according to the Daily Mail. Well, Trump said on Monday, I'll be signing an executive order imposing hard-hitting sanctions on the supreme leader of Iran, on the office of the supreme leader of Iran, and many others. Today's action follows a series of aggressive behaviors by the Iranian regime in recent weeks, including shooting down of U.S. drones. After the American drone was shot down, the Trump administration responded by targeting a cyber attack against Iran. Fox News reported that they'd confirmed that the U.S. military also carried out a cyber attack against Iran last Thursday, even as the president nixed plans for airstrikes in response to the downing of an American drone. Sources said U.S. Cyber Command launched the cyber attack targeting the Iranian intelligence and radar installations used to down the U.S. Navy drone last week. So we have a regime in power in Iran that's been there for quite some time that has been, on the record, hostile towards America. They have sworn, it's as I've said before, it's kind of in their charter that they want Israel wiped off the face of the earth, that they would love to have every Jew in existence exterminated. And their hate for America is, let's just say, on the record. They're not hiding it. And yet, people like Maxine Waters, that nut, Maxine Waters and others like her on the Democrat side, are aligning themselves with Iran. Iran has been saber-rattling for quite some time. They are threatening. They are posturing. They are, I think they're trying to convince everyone around them, their neighbors in their part of the world, that they are a force to be reckoned with. But as President Trump has said in his Twitter thread, Just in the last 2 years, we've invested $1.5 trillion in our military. That's just the last 2 years. That's on top of everything else that's ever been built up. The United States is not a force to be played with. It's a force to be reckoned with. And if they lash out against Americans or anything of ours, they can look for a good beating. And I think it's way past time that happened. But the scenario has to be correct. Shooting down a drone is not enough. If they cross the line, they will pay for it. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. It's good to have you along. It's always good to know you're there. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sharing this little podcast with your friends. It's good to see the family slowly growing across various platforms. Well, when I say various platforms, let's see, ways to listen. There's a handful of ways to listen. You can always go over to the dailyperspectivepodcast.com website. That's dailyperspectivepodcast.com. You can sign up for the podcast a couple of different ways there. You can go to Facebook each morning, and usually throughout the day, Facebook reposts the podcast, so you can catch up on it just the way it was delivered live in the morning. You can also subscribe through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and you can listen on SoundCloud. So there's a handful of different ways you can listen. And I appreciate however you may be listening today. Thanks a lot. It means a lot. I appreciate you being there. Okay. All right. Now let's move forward. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, seems to open her mouth whenever she needs her feet cleaned. I just don't understand this young lady. Well, actually, I do. But she's got to involve herself in everything. Bless her heart. Now, you've probably heard that Wayfair employees, you know, Wayfair.com, the shopping site, they found out that their company was making bedding for detention centers, and they pitched a hissy fit about it. They plan a walkout after learning that the online furnishing company is going to fulfill an order to furnish a migrant camp, and Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is voicing her support. The retailer is going ahead with a $200,000 bed and furniture sale to a detention facility in Carrizo Springs, Texas. Almost 550 Wayfair employees signed a letter to executives on June 21st in opposition to the sale. This is according to the Washington Post. The company announced Monday it would be fulfilling the order. Ocasio-Cortez tweeted her support Tuesday for the walkout, saying, quote, "This is what solidarity looks like." The New York Democrat has called migrant camps concentration camps. Wayfair workers couldn't stomach that they were making beds to cage children. They asked the company CEO to stop. The CEO said no. Tomorrow they're walking out. This is what solidarity looks like. A reminder that everyday people have real power as long as we're brave enough to use it. Well, the employees wrote in a letter to the executives, quote, "At Wayfair, we believe that everyone should live in a home that they love. Let's stay true to that message by taking a stand against the reprehensible practice of separating families, which denies them any home at all. Everyone should live in a home that they love," is the Wayfair slogan. Employees planned the walkout for 1:30 p.m. today near the headquarters in Boston. The employees will meet at Copley Square to protest. Bloomberg is reporting that BCFS, a government contractor that manages the Texas facility, placed the order to supply furniture to the migrant camp. This isn't the first time Wayfair has sold furniture to a migrant camp. It fulfilled an order in September of last year for another BCFS facility in Texas that housed over 2,500 teenagers, employees said, according to Washington Post. The Trump administration closed that Tornillo facility in January because of health and safety concerns. An anonymous employee said, We're walking out in protest of our leadership's decision to sell to reprehensible concentration camps. We'd hoped that raising awareness would be enough for them to do the right thing, but it wasn't. We want to make it clear that this is not a political issue. Ha! It's a humanitarian issue, and we will not back down. A Twitter account about the intended walkout created yesterday has already gained hundreds of followers. The company leadership says in a letter, as a retailer, it is standard practice to fulfill orders for all customers. Well, good for Wayfair. Good for their management. A customer placed an order. They paid for an order. They should fulfill the order. It's for furniture, for bedding. And the employees getting their information from the mainstream leftist progressive press believes a lie. They believe Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, whose picture is on your screen if you're watching the podcast, they believe her. And she is, frankly, a dimwit. She has called these places concentration camps. They're not concentration camps. They're detention centers because the people in them have broken federal law by entering our nation illegally. She claims that families are separated. Children, once again, for those of us who are aware of what's actually going on, are separated from adults when there is suspicion that they are not family. They are separated from adults in order to determine family links. DNA tests are performed. We're finding in many, 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 many cases that the children are not the children of the adults, that they have been rented or kidnapped to be taken across the border so that the adults can enter to a more sympathetic set of rules. This is why families are separated. When someone born in the United States of America, who is the parent of a child, commits a federal crime, that parent is separated from the child. This is not unusual. This is not unprecedented. It happens every day in America. This particular situation has been happening for much longer than Donald Trump has been president. The separation of children from their parents also happened during their beloved Barack Hussein Obama's reign as the president of the United States. They never said a word about it then. The press didn't talk much about it then. The politicians never made an issue about it then. Because then, they were all for it. Then, they believed it was okie dokie. Everything was fine. Nothing to see here. But because Hillary Clinton didn't win, they're up in arms about anything and everything that Donald Trump does. He's breathing today. They're not happy about that either. Speaking of Hillary Clinton, the loser, the one who is not winning, who, by the way, is much, much wealthier now than she ever has been, she's earned the ire of Congressman Dan Crenshaw, the Republican from Texas. On Sunday, he blasted the former Secretary of State, ripping into her for, quote, insane gaslighting, end quote, after she targeted Republicans for the situation at the southern border. On Friday, Clinton attacked Republicans on Twitter, writing, quote, Friday, two-year-olds in detention, children forced to take care of other children, not enough food or water. Demand accountability from your Republican representatives for allowing this administration to cage children and keep them in unconscionable conditions. Well, on Sunday, she followed up with a tweet stating, quote, There are amazing groups at the border and beyond doing critical work to defend the rights of immigrant and refugee children. If you can, please chip in to support a few of them today. Well, Crenshaw fired back vis-a-vis her first tweet. Quote, what insane gaslighting. You know, Dems have refused to support funding for resources at the border and have offered no solutions. So tell us, if you were president, how would you manage hundreds of thousands of people illegally crossing our border and dragging children with them? Then, he eviscerated her second tweet, adding, quote, after blatantly lying, you're also fundraising for rights of immigrants using Act Blue, the Democrat Party fundraising platform, so that donor data is collected for the Democrats. Absolutely shameless. Good for him. In May, Crenshaw minced no words about the Democrats, telling Fox News' Maria Bartiromo that the Democratic Party essentially favored creating open borders. But she stated, Congressman, you say we need more detention space. You're not getting it. The Democrats basically put a limit on the number of beds that you can actually have available for people going into these detention centers. So they're putting a limit on terms, a limit in terms of how many people, and the detention centers are busting out. One of the Border Patrol people told me when I was there 2 weeks ago that when they decide, okay, you're going to stay for X number of days and then you'll have a hearing, that hearing is in 8 years, literally. The system is so overwhelmed that the hearing is not for a year, 7, 8 years. Of course, they're not going to come back. And that's the situation at the border. The Democrats know that this principle of breaking a system is how to defeat the right. It's an old idea put forth by Cloward and Piven. Look it up. Cloward and Piven, two people who told leftists how to defeat the right and how to break the system so that they could institute their own leftist, socialist, communist system. You overwhelm the system until it breaks, and then you replace it. And that's what they're trying to do with immigration right now. This is all orchestrated. And it's all orchestrated by the left. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here with you. Keeping you company for an hour each weekday morning with a little observation, insight, and absurdity. And I tell you, it's an absurd world out there. It truly is an absurd world out there. Let's see here. I'm looking to see if there's anything else I need to apprise you of. Oh, yes. You need to get signed up for the Daily Perspective newsletter. It's pretty simple. You just go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com. It's completely free, no cost to you. And what you get is my notes. You get all of the links to the articles that we discussed during this hour and more. There's stuff I just don't get to because throughout the day, if I find a story and I think it's interesting, I grab the link to the story and I tuck it away. And usually everything I put together adds up to way more than I can get to in a day. And I find myself editing on the fly a lot of days because I want to get to everything, but there's no way to do it. Well, even if I don't get to everything, you get to everything because you get all of the notes, all of the links in the show notes. And one of the cool things about that is that when you go to these stories, they usually link to references from other sources. So you get to see where they get their information. You get to see more information about the story, and you can get some real in-depth information. So you stay informed about what's actually happening around you. So get signed up today. Go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Fill out the form on the right-hand column of the page. Answer yes to the email you receive right after that, and you'll be getting my show notes in your inbox every day. And so there you go. And did I mention, yes, it's absolutely free. Now, we were talking about Dan Crenshaw a moment ago at responding to Hillary Clinton. And I told you what Maria Bartiromo said, and I want to finish up with that because what he has to say is important. His response to her is this. He says, right, and you hit the nail on the head. They don't want more detention space. you have to ask yourself, what is their actual goal? Here's a real problem. I speak to constituents, Democrat and Republican. There are no constituents that I have met who want open borders. But every single Democrat in the House of Representatives does want open borders. And you can tell they want that because of the policies that they're pushing. If you are not for more detention space, it's because you want them caught and released. And like you said, they may have a court date that's 8 years in the future. I mean, it's an enormous amount of time, which effectively means open borders. And again, this is not fair to legal immigrants who want to do it the right way. This is not fair to the legal asylum claimees who want to do it the right way. They're around the world, by the way. People around the world who want to claim asylum in the United States are now confronted with a system that's completely overwhelmed. They have no chance of getting in. Why? Because our good intentions have gotten in our own way, and it's bad for immigrants. Although Clinton attempted to use the crisis at the border to advance her partisan agenda, Roll Call reported on Monday that there is evidence a bipartisan plan to address the issue is in the works. Leaders in the House and Senate want to approve spending at least $4 billion more to address the influx of migrants and their humanitarian needs at the U.S.-Mexico border before the 4th of July recess. Bills in the two chambers differ, however, raising doubts about whether there will be a resolution on President Donald Trump's desk this month. The Senate plan is bipartisan, though some Democratic appropriators have expressed concern about it moving to the floor without changes. Let me just say this about that. If the Democrats appear to be joining ranks with the Republicans on this particular issue, you can bet that in the fine print, somewhere buried on page 128, there will be things which will need to be stricken in order for it to be legal. Let's just make sure that's clear. The Democrats are not interested in doing things according to our laws. The Democrats are interested in building their voter base, and they know that if they get these people, these hundreds of thousands of people each week coming across our border, over a million each year coming across our border, and they are given court dates that are up to 8 years in the future, at some point they're going to say, you know, all of these people who are living among us, we should grant them citizenship. And with citizenship comes the right to vote. And of course, who are they going to vote for? They're going to vote for Democrats. This is their purpose. This is what they want. Regardless of what any of them may say, including Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, it doesn't matter what they say. What they want is more Democrat voters. Because more Democrat voters means they can push things over the edge and never lose another election. And they will never lose power again. And that means they can completely and totally control everything about the country. And everything that has been done wrong by our federal government will get worse and worse and worse. Because their incompetence will never stop. This is the purpose behind the immigration crisis. This is what they're doing. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, California, nut job, said that Democrats made sure to take full responsibility to secure the U.S.'s southern border and insisted that Democrats wouldn't put children in cages in order to do so. House Democrats are debating a new border bill and have proposed a $4.5 billion emergency spending package that does not include any of the border security measures sought by the GOP. $4.5 billion with nothing for border security. Nothing to prevent further illegal immigration. The House is expected to vote on the bill. The White House has threatened to veto the House measure, reportedly because, of a provision to reallocate approved aid to Central American countries. Congress goes into recess for the Independence Day holiday after Thursday, this Thursday. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of time off? While addressing the House press corps at the U.S. Capitol, Pelosi called ICE's enforcement actions, quote, outside the civil circle of civilized human behavior, end quote. You notice they say these things, but they never provide any evidence of their claims. They never talk about the uncivilized human behavior. They just make the claim. And the leftist press runs with it, and the lemmings on the left believe it. During her weekly press conference, she criticized President Donald Trump for taking a definitive stance on illegal immigration. Quote, "It's ridiculous to think that the way to protect the border is to put children in cages. Democrats have taken full responsibility for the border, but we don't think we have to put children in cages to do it." That's interesting. It was Democrats that started putting children in cages. Nancy. Pelosi touched upon a recent tweet by the president in which he said that it was her dream to have open borders. The longtime lawmaker quipped, "No matter what my dream is, Trump would still be there." She also went on to point out that she feels Trump is not capable of exhibiting civilized human behavior. In April, Trump denied reports that he was planning to reinstate family separations at the U.S.-Mexico border. Speaking from the White House, the president said, "We're not looking to do that. Once you don't have family separation, well, that's why you have many people, more people coming." He also insisted that the family separation policy and reports of holding children in cages began under the presidency of former President Barack Obama. Quote, "President Obama separated the children, by the way, just so you understand. President Obama separated the children. Those cages that were shown, I think they were very inappropriate. They were built by President Obama's administration, not by Trump." He continued, "President Obama had child separation. Take a look. The press knows it. You know it. We all know it. I'm the one who changed that. I'll tell you something. Once you don't have family separation, that's why you see many more people coming. They're coming like it's a picnic, like, let's go to Disneyland. President Obama separated children. I was the one who changed it." And he's right about that. It was President Obama, his administration, that began separation. And as I noted earlier, there is a just cause for doing so. Because these people are coming into our country illegally, they are breaking laws, we treat them initially like criminals. Now, I will grant you that some of them are genuinely coming here because they believe they can find a better life here. That's what they have trusted, and that's what they believe. But still, coming in without coming through the proper channels is illegal. They're breaking laws. And because they are breaking our laws, we take a step to be absolutely certain that they are really related to the children who are with them. So, we separate them briefly. We run a DNA test. We make sure that they are family. And if they're family, they get back together. If they're not family, then we have to protect the children. Because we don't know who these people are. They're already breaking the law. They're already lying to us. They can't be trusted. So, we're actually protecting children, not harming them. And the conditions they're living under are getting worse. That's true. But the conditions are getting worse because the Democrats won't allow us to improve the conditions. They won't approve any funding. They're proposing $4.5 billion of funding, but the wording of what they're proposing isn't what we want or what we need. They're wanting to reinstate aid to countries which have proven they're not giving the aid to the poor. They're not helping the people in need with the money we send them. The Democrats are posturing. That's all they're doing. They're posturing. They're making believe and pretending for the press and for the lemmings who follow them that they're doing the right thing. And they're doing anything but the right thing. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Hey, did you see? It's a story that's been popping up, and this is just a real brief aside because I want to get back to the immigration issue here. This person who has accused President Trump of raping her at Bergdorf. That's the plot of I think it's an old L.A. Law episode. I think that's what it was. Somebody's actually posted the video about lingerie, a dressing room, the whole nine yards. So, yeah, it's sounding more and more concrete, like it really happened every day. More credible. Well, the latest Looney Tune to address the border is Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren. She said yesterday she supports decriminalizing illegal border crossings and argues the U.S. shouldn't be prosecuting mamas and babies trying to flee violence. She told HuffPost in a statement she agreed with the stance of fellow 2020 contender Julian Castro, the former housing and urban development chief in the Obama administration. Castro pushed in April for a repeal of a law that makes crossing the border without authorization a misdemeanor punishable by up to 6 months in jail, with harsher sentences for repeat offenders. Quote, I agree with Secretary Castro. We should not be criminalizing mamas and babies trying to flee violence at home or trying to build a better future. We must pass comprehensive immigration reform that is in line with our values, creates a pathway to citizenship for undocumented immigrants, including our Dreamers, and protects our borders. The reform backed by Warren, Castro, and other Democrats would give civil immigration courts jurisdiction over such cases. Thousands of Central Americans are crossing the border each month, and Democrats have sharply criticized the Trump administration over the conditions of border stations holding the migrant children. By the way, the conditions are the fault of the Democrats. Warren hasn't released a full immigration policy proposal yet, but she did tie criticism of Trump's border policies to her call last week to end private for-profit prisons. President Donald Trump has praised Mexico for cracking down on illegal crossings on its own southern border as part of an agreement following Trump's threat to impose harsh tariffs over the border crisis. The illegal immigration problem still remains for the U.S. and has emerged as a major political issue in the 2020 Democratic field, hoping to defeat Trump. Congress is divided on a $4.5 billion humanitarian aid bill to address the border crisis, with some Democrats fearing the money will be used to enforce Trump raids to deport illegal immigrants. Although they wouldn't call them illegal immigrants. They would just say they're immigrants. See, that is something that you've got to learn. You've got to learn to interpret what they say, because they're not calling them illegals. They're just calling them immigrants. They are confusing the two. And then they say things like, we're a nation of immigrants. Yes, legal immigrants who came here through the legal system. But Elizabeth Warren is proposing something which, if it gains any more steam, will actually increase the number of people flooding our border. And that's the issue. This decriminalization would send a message which would flood our border with illegals, making our borders even less secure and increasing the Democrat voter base dramatically if they continue to get what they want. Now, something else that you may have noticed is in recent days, they're starting to talk about the horrible conditions and the deaths of children. And there's an article on Human Events by Rahim Kassam that I think is important. It's called The New Aylin Kurdi. And it reads like this. During the 2015 migrant crisis, the European media guilted their fellow countrymen with pictures of dead children. Now that tactic has come to America. America's media is about to follow in the footsteps of Europe's as open borders advocates begin using images of children in order to guilt the nation over its own migrant crisis. In 2015, at the peak of Europe's self-inflicted migration problem, the media plastered pictures of toddler Aylin, later called Alan, Kurdi, washed up dead on a beach in Turkey. Kurdi was utilized as a global symbol of why Western nations were morally bound to throw open their borders to anyone and everyone apparently seeking refuge. The media would also, in the same period, blur out pictures of children killed in Islamic terror attacks. This, even though it became clear the Kurdi family was living relatively well in a safe country, Turkey, and had paid nearly $6,000 to try and cross illegally into Europe on their way to Canada. Around 40% of Americans can't put $400 together in a crisis. The same goes for many Europeans. The guilt trip was laid on thick, and Kurdi's father was let off the hook for using illegal means and irresponsible practices to bring his family to Europe. Now America is being offered its own island, Kurdi, and America, like Europe, will be asked to please think of the children on the southern border. Last time President Trump's administration was challenged on the children in cages narrative, his approval ratings dropped sharply. It will probably happen again this time. But Americans need to remember, as Europeans forgot, who is really responsible for the deaths of young children trying to enter these countries illegally? One, their parents. No one is forcing these parents to get their children together and attempt to cross in some of the most perilous terrain on the continent. Yes, there are poor economic factors at play in Mexico and Central Latin America, especially in places like Venezuela. But Mexico is a relatively safe country by comparison with other parts of the continent and other parts of the world. There is no grave humanitarian crisis in Mexico, forcing people to urgently leave lest they perish. It is, basically, the Turkey of the Americas in a migratory sense. Two, Mexico. If there are problems near the border with gang, human traffickers, and drug cartels, that is the fault of the Mexican government. It is also the fault of the Mexican government to allow their country to be a conduit for masses of illegal migration come from further south on the continent. The United States and its citizens may be keen to help, but only in order to limit the number of people entering the U.S., not by bringing them all in. Number three, the gangs. Of course, when President Trump refers to gangs south of the border as animals, the media and the Democratic Party go collectively wild. But they are animals, and they are responsible for much of the danger and uncertainty in certain parts of Mexico and indeed the United States. The Mexican government needs to urgently get a grip on this situation and stop expecting the U.S. taxpayer to absorb the problems they refuse to address. Number four, Democrats and never Trumpers. If the lives of children like Aylin Kurdi mean so much to the political left and their right-leaning apologists, why do they never do anything about it? There are plenty of measures that would stop illegal crossings and therefore stop unnecessary deaths. But those who crow loudest about the humanitarian crises are the ones least likely to actually do anything. Think of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her bleating about the concentration camps on the southern border. If these camps really are as bad as she says they are, why doesn't she do the one thing that would stop people having to live in such camps? I.e., build the wall. It worked for Hungary. Australia stopped the boats and stopped the deaths. So did Italy. It's America's turn. And finally, number five, open borders activists. A number of open borders activist groups and NGOs operate between the U.S. and the rest of the Americas. These are usually government or corporate-sponsored groups who literally tell would-be illegal immigrants how to cross into the United States, where to go, what to say, and so forth. It happened in Europe, too. Open borders activists are collaborators when it comes to the illegality of mass migration, and groups like Pueblos Sin Fronteras should be treated as such. Their offices should be raided, their assets seized, and they should be prosecuted as accomplices to mass criminal activity. Their corporate sponsors should also be penalized heavily. So, expect a new outpouring of guilt and hand-wringing over the latest avoidable deaths of the U.S. border. But remember, it isn't your fault, nor is it your responsibility that the above five sets of groups of people refuse the clear moral imperative and practical solutions when it comes to illegal immigration. The most humanitarian way to fix the border crisis is clear. Solve those problems. Build the wall. Prosecute open border groups. And force Mexico to take real, responsibility. Bravo to Graheem Kassam. He's absolutely right. These groups of people are to blame for the problem. And there are solutions. Those solutions take political courage and will. And sadly, politicians have neither. Time to move. Time to get out of the way and to make room for the rest of your day. God bless you. Thanks for listening. I look forward to being back with you again tomorrow morning on tomorrow's edition of The Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.